great leader Abraham Lincoln once said, "My great concern is not whether you have failed, but whether you are content with your failure." Lincoln was right. We should not be concerned whether we fail, but rather what do we do in response to the failure? Do we learn? Do we adjust? Do we grow and become better by having failed? That is the key question. So for this issue, I wanted to find someone who has, like all of us, failed, and as a result, has grown exponentially in the process and has invaluable lessons to bring back from his journey. Lessons on growing through failure, thus lessons on growing our success. I've invited my friend, Todd Duncan, to come in and talk with us. Todd is a nationally recognized speaker, trainer, and best-selling author with 14 books to his credit. Todd, welcome back to Success, and thank you for having the courage to share some of the rougher parts of your journey with us here at Success.
Thanks for having me, Darren. You know, it's an honor to share this time with you. And, you know, I kind of think that maybe I might be the poster child for failure. And so when Success Magazine calls and wants to feature you in their issue on failure, that's a good thing, right?
It's a great thing, particularly, I think, when we hear the rest of the story. So let's dive right in. Let's start with the beginning of this story that centers around the theme of this issue. And I know that you've taught millions of people success principles since you founded your company, the Todd Duncan Group, back in 1992. So tell us how an author, speaker, and success coach like yourself began a downward spiral that lasted not for a week or a month or even a year, but almost a decade, and you're still here to talk about it.
My reality, Darren, is that I crashed and burned hard. The backstory is I had succeeded as a speaker and an author and a success coach for almost 15 years. I had founded the Duncan Group in 92. By 2004, I had written 12 books. The titles were Around the World in 38 Languages. Company had grown to 25 employees, was super profitable. And I found myself at age 45 on top of the world working, but with the ability to retire. So what happened? I mean, how did this spiral begin? You know, outside of the things that we simply cannot control, most failures we experience can be tied to one of two things, either a poor decision or a bad strategy or both. I made a great decision to expand my brand by buying a big company, but I had a poor strategy in how to manage that transition and ultimately the management of the company. If I'd had the right strategy, things may have turned out differently, but what made my situation worse was that this one decision, just one decision, set in motion a chain of events that took 9 years to get through. Here's my fast-track version, 9 years and 20 seconds. My company bought a sizable leadership training company to complement our sales training, and we quadrupled our revenues and our staff overnight. Here's where it went horribly wrong. I did not manage the CEO relationship like I should have as chairman of the board. Number two, I didn't manage the checkbook like I should have, like all responsible CEOs do. And when the red flags appeared, I didn't move quickly enough. And as the sole shareholder, after 5 capital calls and watching my net worth evaporate and my marriage get strained, I decided to sell the company that I had bought. It took some more capital, a little bit of patience, but we finally sold in a distressed sale. But I was left holding 7 figures of debt. So I reloaded the Duncan Group. Then the economy crashed. I tried to take some chips off the table and sold the company in an asset sale. The economy got worse. The guys who bought my company changed my deal, which was a 5-year equity deal. My wife was dying from terminal breast cancer, and on December 22nd, they told me with no time left in the year to fix it, that they would fire me for missing 6 days of work. A month later, I was fired from my own company. My wife is terminally ill. I don't have a job, and they enforced the non-compete. A week later, I filed a wrongful termination lawsuit. 6 months later, my wife of 25 years died after a courageous battle with breast, bone, liver, and brain cancer, and I'm immediately the single father of 2 boys. 5 months later, the guys that fired me settled. I got my company and assets and patents and trademarks back, and I've been battling, and I mean battling my way back ever since.
Well, that's an incredible story, Todd. There are others that are going through situations, or maybe, you know, it's around the corner. And I know you talked about keeping hope and keeping faith, but there had to have been hundreds of times based on your story that you just shared that when you wanted to give up, but you didn't. You kept starting over. You kept moving on. You kept going forward. Explain why you didn't give up, no matter what. And was there anything you could share with somebody else who might be going through that same situation?
First of all, I had to. I mean, there were really no alternatives. I was, you know, a single dad. I had 2 teenage boys who had lost their mom. I had to take care of them. I had mortgages to pay, school tuition to fund, and a lot of debt to manage. And this was definitely a driving force. And so the first thing I did is understood that I had to, for my family, survive. and we needed to survive together. I think the second thing, and this is important for everybody to reflect on, is I wanted to. In the midst of the failure, in the midst of all the challenges, I rewound the tapes of my life to all the positive moments that I had had as a success coach. I mean, I had the privilege of changing so many lives for so long, I simply chose not to lose sight of that purpose. And I had spent my life speaking and teaching and motivating and helping people succeed, and I never wanted to stop doing that. And I found that to be a very positive decision in the midst of all this kind of negativity and gravity and decisions that I had to make. And then thirdly, I believed, and this is for everybody too, whatever you're in, you're not stuck in it. I mean, I sincerely believe that all that I was going through was temporary. And that changes your kaleidoscope a little bit. It changes kind of your perspective on how you go about each day. And the fact that I had tasted success, you know, a lot of my life, I kept focused on that truth. And I have a philosophy, and it's a great philosophy for everybody to kind of lock on to, no matter, you know, where you're at in life. But if you're going somewhere, my philosophy is it's never a matter of if, it's only when you're going to get there. You know, Darren, a lot of people say that hope is not a strategy. I want everybody to know I completely disagree with that. In fact, in the midst of failing, experiencing setbacks, and having to keep moving on, hope is the best strategy there is. Keeping your hope alive keeps your heart alive and sets you up for forward progress and success. And I think finally, you know, it all comes down to our interpretation of failure. I kept my faith large. I kept my vision large. I kept persevering. But I understood that I could either see all this as a setup for something maybe bigger and better, or I could see it as a setback for settling for something less. I decided that no matter what, Darren, I would do everything I could to make it through and to desperately hold on to the idea that my best days were ahead of me. And so for me, what matters most is progress. The thing that I found to be just super fascinating is in the midst of all of that, I supersized my dreams. I mean, I made them enormous. And I find that most people in the midst of kind of going through the gray area of failure stop dreaming, you know, and if you've stopped dreaming, you're dead. And since you become what you believe, I mean, I just chose to believe big, and I believe that a door would open. And if I could just step through enough closed doors, pretty soon I'd find the open one reserved, especially for me.
Now, I've heard you say something, Todd, that I really like, and I want you to expand on it for our listeners. You said, if it were not possible to fail, it would be impossible to succeed. So talk to us more about that idea.
Well, you know, I love Jim Rohn. I know he was your personal mentor, Darren, and I think that I speak for all the success achievers when I say, you know, he's missed. But his legacy is so strong, and you're doing a great job keeping that alive. And I remember him saying, if it were not possible to lose, there would be no such thing as winning. If there were no such thing as darkness, it would be impossible to have light. And so I was writing in my journal one day as I was going through this, and it was a particularly hard day. I had to write a check that day for another $1 million to put in the company to keep it from going bankrupt and just sustain operations until we, quote, got it fixed. And I wrote this down in the midst of that. I wrote down, if it were not possible to fail, it would be impossible to succeed. And what I did is I parked on that truth every day, and I started seeing how all this failure could actually be a blessing. And I know that sounds really crazy. I mean, failure equals a blessing, really? But people have to pay attention to this truth. If it were not possible to fail, there would be no such thing as success. And so for me, I got really crystal clear that if I looked hard enough, I could probably find the silver linings in these setbacks. And so it really inspired me. And so that's the key for everybody. I mean, failure actually makes success possible. So the big question is one of perspective. And it may sound like a foreign language, but I asked myself this, what if I actually saw failure as a successful experience? What would I attempt to achieve? And I asked the success tribe the same question. I mean, if you actually saw all your failures as successful experiences, and you had that mindset before you took action that this would be a successful experience, whatever the outcome, what would you attempt to achieve? And so if in your mind and in my mind, we see failure not as bad, but good, I mean, what could we really go out and do? And I remember what Thomas Watson, the founder of IBM, said. He said, if you want to double your success rate, double your failure rate. And so my advice to people is that you need to stop seeing failure as a breakdown. You need to reframe it as a breakthrough. That's hard, but you can find it. Every road to success is inevitably going to pass through the land of failure. So if you stay big picture oriented and you see every failure as temporary, you'll come out winning.
When you say, what could we do? I think so many people let their fear of failure hold them back and sabotage their forward progress. So tell us why you think that is, and then what you would tell people to get them to break that cycle.
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, I think everybody needs to just continue to work towards this idea that there's nothing wrong with failing. And I think they need to simultaneously embrace the idea that there is everything wrong with not trying. And here's why this kind of plays out. I mean, fear of failure is really nothing more than a self-confidence issue. And I see it everywhere. I see it as I work with leadership groups. I see it as I work with sales groups. I see it when I go one-on-one with individuals, you know, that I'm coaching and helping try to implement a success plan. And it kind of works like this. And while this concept applies to all areas of our life, I'm going to use a business example. So let's say that you're a salesperson and you're experiencing high levels of call reluctance. I mean, reluctance occurs when you project an outcome on an event that has not yet happened, and in this case, a negative outcome. And what that does is it kicks into gear that sales reluctance syndrome. That negative projection is not based on the positive outcome you desire, but it's actually tied to a previous negative outcome or failure. And here's what's interesting, Darren, because it's pulled from the past, it actually takes you backwards. It connects you to a negative emotion called rejection, and then quickly causes paralysis with no forward progress. And if we live in that zone of success reluctance syndrome, it can be a sales call, it can be an investment, it can be an acquisition, it can be the implementation of new technology, it can be this. If we go through our life in this state of reluctance because we're always living in the past, we're never, ever, ever going to be able to grab the brass rings of success. So I tell people there's two rules. There's two rules why fear of failure holds you back and sabotages your progress and how to get out of it. Number one. Rule number one is you never give your power away to an event that has not yet occurred. Okay, so in the sales call example, I haven't even made the call yet, and I'm giving my power away to that call, and I'm projecting onto it, it's not going to work out right. And it's easy to think that if I failed once, I'll fail twice, and in the midst of trying to take this positive action, if sales reluctance kicks in and I don't make the call, isn't this fascinating? It ironically produces more of what I don't want, which is failure. So if this isn't fixed, fundamentally, success is never going to arrive. So how do you fix it? So rule number two is two simple words, get great. In my most recent book, Life on the Wire, I teach this concept called habitual excellence. And habitual excellence is about, first of all, being your best, and then being the best. And you can be the best in your company, or the best in your market, or the best in your industry, or the best in your state, or the best in your country. The bottom line in this example is if you got really great, I mean great, at making sales calls, not only would you want to make more of them successfully, but you'd make sure you were calling on the best prospects, not the average prospects. This is the key. I mean, when you get better at business, business will get better for you. When you get better at life, life will get better for you. I teach this cool law, the law of the dress rehearsal, which says practicing your lines elevates the level of your performance. So in this particular context, there is no fear of failure if I know what to say, I know how to say it, my purpose and my motives are clear, and I am really, really great at making the call. When I'm great, and when I'm game ready, failure's not going to hold me back. And here's the beautiful thing, the marketplace and success will be attracted to me. So we have to understand that these two rules are profound, and that all reluctance is a symptom to lack of confidence. All we have to do is work on our confidence through practice and repetition and getting good at the things we do, and the reluctance will go away, the fear of failure will go away. Now we'll wake up excited about attracting success.
Let's talk a little bit more about this idea of perception. I love it when you say, if you change your attitude towards failure, you will change your interpretation of failure. So give our listeners the information they need to do exactly that, to change their attitudes.
I memorized Tom Hopkins' Champion's Creed when I started off in sales, and not only did it radically change my perspective on failure, but I have to tell you, Darren, it got me through all the ups and downs for the last 9 years, and it's super powerful. It goes like this, and I've made it in the first person, so I would say this to myself. I'm not judged by the number of times I fail, but by the number of times I succeed. And the number of times I succeed is in direct proportion to the number of times I can fail and keep on trying. So if we could embrace that creed, we'd have a new perspective on failure. So the big question is one of attitude. You know, how do we change our attitudes? And the first thing I would say to all of the listeners, and certainly I try to do my very best doing this as well, is have a success journal. And in your success journal, not a new idea, but are your failures and your lessons. And there's four specific questions to help change your attitude towards failure. And I ask these questions hundreds of times during the 9 years that I was struggling. And I want to say during those 9 years, it wasn't like I was on a street corner with a sign looking for money. I mean, I was working, I was implementing ideas, I was, you know, responding to the marketplace. I was doing whatever I could do, but I still every day had to deal with failure and the result of failure, which ironically can produce more failure or success. But I would ask myself these four questions. So first, in the midst of failure, what is good about this? Okay, so just take a breath for a second and think about a failed sales call, or think about losing some money in a bad investment, or think about, you know, hiring somebody that didn't work out. You know, what is good about this? If you simply just ask that one question and you ponder it long enough, you will get a lesson out of it. And so when you start to think what is good about this, not what is negative about this, I mean, it's very easy to come up with what's bad about this when we're in the midst of failure, but reframe the question, what's good about this? Second question, how can I use this as a positive force in the next 24 to 48 hours? In other words, if I have a failed sales call, how can I use this as a positive force in the next 24 to 48 hours? Well, I could spend 3 hours this afternoon retraining for a call. I could either call on that person again and have total humility and come at it and say, you know, yesterday I blew it. It dawned on me afterwards, there's three things I didn't ask you that I should have asked you that could have made a whole big difference in our time together. Do you have time for me to ask those right now? And you turn the whole thing around. You have a little bit of humility of spirit. You got to kind of go back after it. Or maybe it's not the same person. You just say to yourself, you know, I did three things that did not work out on that call. I'm going to practice for a couple hours this afternoon. And tomorrow I'm making 10 calls the right way. And use that as a positive force, because then all of a sudden you don't have this delay of time that you fritter away thinking failure. You're taking action in 24 to 48 hours, which over the span of your life, Darren, really accelerates your success curve. Question three, what are the top 2 to 3 gifts this mistake has given me for the rest of my life? I don't have time to go into it on our interview, but I have literally a list of over 100 gifts that 9 years of failure has given me. And I read that list every Sunday to remind me of the greatness of the valley that I went through to get back on top. And then fourth, what skill or strategy do I need to regroup on so this never happens again? If you enter all this into your success journal and you review it every Sunday night before you go to bed, and you never forget that you can't change the past, but you can start right now to create a whole brand new future for you, this is how you change your attitude.
Hmm. So I want you to offer us one final thought today, Todd. If there was only one single lesson that you could teach people on failure, what would that be?
The one single lesson that I would teach people on failure is to do it, to fail. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but think about it this way. If success is defined as successful failure, the more you fail, the better off you're going to be. If you handle it well, you handle it with resolve, and you handle it with determination, you can create your perfect future. I mean, I am happier today than I've ever been. I'm married to the most amazing woman on the planet, and I'm ridiculously in love. Our boys are thriving in school. The bank accounts are back, the debt is gone, the books are being written, the speeches are being given. And because all this has happened, these actually are the best days of my life, and they just keep getting better. And so I want the success tribe, Darren, to just realize the same for them. The best days for you are ahead of you. And if you make failure your friend, you're going to succeed beyond your wildest dreams. And from this day forward, just think of yourself as a success magnet pulling in all the prizes for a rich and rewarding life.
Well, Mr. Todd Duncan, I want to thank you again. It's easy to come in here and talk to success about all your successes, but it takes a strong, confident, and courageous person to revisit the more embarrassing or challenging moments in one's journey. And so I want to thank you for being that kind of man. Thanks for being with us here at Success.
It was a pleasure, Darren. Thank you so much for the opportunity.